What is up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast with my co-host Devin Damrell. On today's show, we are diving deep into Cavs-Raptors, which the Cavs lost in a key playoff battle in the Eastern Conference on Thursday night. Let's get into every single angle of this on today's show.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Ground. Here goes Okoro to the bucket, and oh my, Okoro throws it down. 10 seconds to go. Here comes Colin Sexton. Sexton chased by Hill, off to Stevens. Oh my! 45 ticks to go. That shot is blocked by Nance.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Prince knocks down that Harden pass. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out!
There you go. That's called team ball right there.
Some housekeeping before we get into today's show. First, I want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is also brought to you by NBA Top Shot. NBA Top Shot is the future of being an NBA fan. Own officially licensed rare NFTs of the greatest moments from NBA history. Sign up today at lockedon.nbatopshot.com. Evan, the Cavs lose to the Toronto Raptors on Thursday night, 117-104. Had a strong start to the game, end up kind of fading away the rest of this. Had a brief moment where it looked like they might come back, and then Toronto really put the hammer down in the Cavs lose. Both these teams now are 41-32 on the season. The Cavs are still technically the sixth seed in the East because of a tiebreaker advantage over Toronto, but this was a game that would have given them a little bit of breathing room, and this is, I think, a tough loss. We're going to do a little bit more of an informal thing today. We're going to riff through how this game went. We're going to talk about where they stand and look ahead to Saturday's game against Chicago instead of our normal kind of deep dive recaps, because there's a lot to unpack here that feels a little bit restrained by what we normally do. So, Evan, I do want to start with this. Why do you think this went wrong for the Cavs? What do you think was the deciding thing for them in this one?
It's tough. I think it's multifaceted. I think it's a lack of energy is just the biggest thing. The Cavs came out slow and lethargic. The Raptors really punched them in the mouth the first quarter, and it's just kind of been an issue the Cavs have been dealing with for the better part of this 9-game stretch or so when Jared Allen is out. And it was even like this when Jared Allen was still active, too, is where they get in these holes, and the Cavs just spend the entire game playing catch-up. You have dudes playing more minutes than they need to. Clearly, the starters and JB only went three deep into his bench. Like, he played heavily on a lot of these guys tonight, and it's just disappointing because the Cavs have just kind of seems like they've lost their identity during this stretch as well. Like, even post All-Star break and pre-All-Star break, like a few games leading into it, like they kind of lost who they were. And I said after that Lakers game, maybe they need to do a little bit of soul searching and look themselves in the mirror and reevaluate things. But I don't know. This is part of the growing pains of a young team too, I think. Them saying post-game of them, as in Lamar Stevens and J.B. Bickerstaff, that this is more of a learning opportunity and they're not going to like really dwell too. I mean, they're going to dwell on the loss and think about it and think about how it sucks, but they're going to use it as a learning opportunity to figure out what they can do right leading into Saturday's game against Chicago. That's just kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, that's actually – here's a clip from Lamar Stevens from this game, him talking about this and explaining what – here's just what Lamar said after the game. I thought this
Ryan
was one of the more
– screen, folks, because I let Chris in on this one.
I definitely think we're frustrated. I mean, we have guys that want to win, who are bought into this team and bought into JB. So I wouldn't say that, you know, we don't feel that way, because I know I definitely am. I know my teammates are too. So, but at the end of the day, like, you know, grand scheme of things, you know, we've taken a jump in a positive direction, and we've set ourselves up to be in a position that really nobody thought that we would be in. So we just got to stick together and just keep going, because I think we're just going to keep surprising people.
So that's where we're at here. That's Lamar talking about being frustrated, talking about the team being a little frustrated. Look, the thing I think that he hit on that I think is right is that this is a frustrating loss in part because they've come a long way. But it doesn't take away from the fact that this was a frustrating loss. And there were some things in this game that were relevant and similar to how I think they lost Monday. I thought Lauri Markkanen once again just kind of got put into hell, put in the in the cage with Siakam and just got kind of ruined by a wing.
It's a wrestling thing.
He's not a WWE guy. Like, you know, I think that my biggest wrestling thing is, you know, Spider-Man 1 when he's fighting Bonesaw McGraw, but
it's Macho Man Randy Savage, and God, Tobey Maguire said a very cancelable thing back then that he probably regrets now as a cool youth pastor.
Okay.
He said, anyway, that's a nice outfit, cute outfit. Did your husband buy it for you?
That's true. Okay, anyway, Markkanen has a real struggle in this defensive game. Siakam ends up having 35-6, right? Like, he was incredible, and, like, he got really hot, and you have to navigate that, and that happens. And, you know, they got 4 threes from OG Anunoby and his return from injury and all this stuff, and Van Vliet hit one big late and everything, but it's just like...
These are the guys I pointed out when we did the preview that they might be a bit of an issue for the Cavs.
Yeah.
Like, the Cavs need to defend Siakam. They need to defend... Pay respect to Anunoby from the 3. Fred VanVleet's just going to be an issue because he's an all-star, and Scottie Barnes is a bit of an X-factor. They negated Scottie Barnes a little bit, but, like, those other guys just went off, like you said, because they went marketing hunting.
Yeah, and, like, the end of this game, there was a stretch where Lamar Stevens, who played very well, I think for the most part in this game, like, is bodying and defending, you know, Siakam, and they're, like, forcing the switch. Like, they're like, nah, we're going to get this switch, and they end up getting it because it's you can manipulate that stuff fairly easily. Evan, the other thing I think about, we'll get to that later. The other thing I think that the reason why they lose this is just, I do think the fatigue has set in a little bit with this group, right? Like, Darius Garland played 38 minutes in this one. You know, had he not been subbed out, had the main guys in this roster not gotten subbed out with 135 to go, he hits 40 minutes again. Evan Mobley, same thing, would have hit 40 minutes again. He played 38-46 otherwise. You know, Kevin Love started this game and ended up playing 33 minutes. Markkanen played 36. Okoro played 27, Stevens 23, Caris LeVert played 23, Jetty Osman played 11. JB goes 8 deep, and the two main guys, I played 10 minutes, and I think the Raptors were fresher. They had a little bit more of an edge. They were a little more in the tank as we went on here. And look, I was looking up some minute totals in this game, and this kind of makes sense to me too, because Darius Garland coming into this game had already played about 300 more minutes than he did last year. And he's played 4 fewer games. Like, he has played a ton of minutes, and, like, it is not, like, surprising that he looks a little fatigued and the lift doesn't look there right now. Like, this is late in the year, and they're dragging a little bit. And I think that definitely to me plays a part in this.
Darius has played 300 more minutes than he has in his first 2. This is year 3 for him.
See, 300 more minutes than last year when his, like, first real full year. Mm-hmm. Started to play 300 more minutes than last season. In 4 fewer games.
That's
a lot of extra minutes over, like, a compressed schedule. Like, that is rough. That is hard to navigate for someone who's going through this for the first time. Everyone on this team, sans Kevin Love, is really going through this for the first time. Toronto has Siakam, who won a title. Van Vliet won a title. OG won a title.
That's like exactly what JB said pregame. When he's just like, listen, these guys have championship experience. And also, Nick Nurse is a championship-winning coach. Like, yes, the Raptors lean heavily on their starters, but the Cavs are right. Darius is 26 in the league right now, minutes per game.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Look, Toronto deserves all the credit in the world for this win. They were just a better team than the Cavs. They are a better team right now than Cleveland. They are so dynamic. Siakam was incredible. You can just see where the Cavs are, like, a little bit lacking right now. And the offense got hard. Evan, in this game, the Cavs had an offensive rating of 112.2. That's a little below average. They had a defensive rating of 125.3. That's about 10.
Oh, no, wait, I lied. Sorry, I didn't sort it correctly. He's 16th in the league in minutes per game.
That's still very high. But, like, the Cavs just kind of had...
they look tired. They look tired. Yeah. They look gassed, I think. I do think that Lakers loss was emotionally heavy on them because JB really said, like, you can't let this moment be too big for you. And they came out flat and let LeBron absolutely go nuclear on them. And I wonder if they dwelled on that a little bit. And they came out flat again against the Raptors in a very hostile environment because those Raptors fans are crazy. And these Raptors are really talented. Like, they're a really good team. And they say all the right things. Like, I think maybe you and I have just been circling this drain for a while now as the Cavs keep saying all the right things in losses. When are they going to address these issues and not make them a recurring thing? Because it's been a thing for 10, 15, possibly even 20 games at this point.
Yeah, let's get into that after the break. I have a couple thoughts on this.
I'm waiting for the spicy take of yours.
That's segment three. This maybe the spiciest thing.
I got a spray bottle to you. It's just it's for this, the cat and plants, but it's for Chris tonight.
Friend of the program, Kevin Stankiewicz, got me going on this when we were talking about this game over text. It is probably the most organic spicy thing I've ever said, and I can't do like the fake, you know, stuff. I don't think so. That's just me. All right. Anyway, after the break, we're gonna get into some of these little things we saw, some of the kind of the other little things that have kind of built up here, and kind of see if they are solvable. But first, Evan, I'm gonna tell everyone about our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online. It's that time of year again as college basketball season is finally upon us. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline is the only place you should go to bet right now. I mean, where else would you go? They remain the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games.
Hope you didn't bet on Gonzaga.
Head to the website today, that's betonline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Right now, for instance, the Cavs are plus 4,000 to win the East. If we believe in J.B. Bickerstaff, he is still plus 600 to win Coach of the Year. That is second best to Phoenix's Monty Williams, who is minus 700 for that award. And if you want to bet on games, you can do that at BetOnline as well. For instance, the Cavs were 5-point underdogs going into Toronto. They obviously didn't cover, so maybe you got some something on that. And they'll surely have a lineup sooner rather than later for Cavs-Bulls on Saturday. So head to BetOnline today. That's where the game starts. It's betonline.net. They have MMA, everything else as well. All right, Locked On Cavs here. We are back. I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damrell. Evan, what are some of the things you're looking at and saying, why don't they change this? I'm curious to what you're thinking in that regard.
Maybe not let Larry Markkanen play so much in defensive scenarios. Like, J.B. Bickerstaff tried to hype him up pregame saying that he's defended Chris Paul, he's defended Kevin Durant, he's defended Jason Tatum, LeBron, Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, etc., but you also don't need to. I think the hesitancy to use Lamar Stevens more often in defensive lineups is questionable. I think not playing Lamar and starting Kevin Love tonight was questionable. I was just like, okay, we'll see how this works. But
I kind of understood it because you're just like so desperate. I think you when you look at this
I know
game,
you're swapping defense for offense.
And like this, the offense is so hard for the Cavs, man. It is so hard. Yeah,
lean
there's just a
fully
point
into
yeah.
that, and maybe you have to grind this out because JB's like, oh yeah, we take pride winning ugly. Then go win ugly. If it's an ugly score, you need to keep going toe to toe with this Raptors team instead of letting people be wide open from three. Where like there was consistent opportunities where the Raptors would drift out to the corners, and then either Jetty Osmond or Kevin Love wouldn't cover their man, or it was in a switch scenario and Jetty has to cover the entire baseline. Like, the Cavs just broke down really fundamentally defensively, too. Like, there's just a lot of things, and I do think is the physical toll of an 82-game season, and you are asking the youngest roster in the league to carry the momentum that they had early into the season.
Is it the youngest roster in the league or just
one of the youngest rosters in the league to carry this momentum that they had at the beginning of the season where they were top team record-wise, and you and I were skeptical, but we're like, okay, they're better than we expected, and then they're kind of leveling back out to where ideally I think they would hit their apex this year. Like, I think record wise this is the apex of what I get from the Cavs, and I think 5, 6, 7 is where I had them slotted if they're hitting their absolute peak. And like some people are like, oh, they're a championship team this year, though, this other stuff. I'm just like, it's not a marathon, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. So that's just my issues. Like, the Cavs have some dead legs out there too, and I think the problem is Caris LeVert has been suboptimal
let's put a pin in that because I will come back to that because that is the origin of my spice, Evan. That's a little tease for you because you don't know what this is.
I got a candle burning. Okay. I'm gonna drink it to wax like Homer Simpson did so I don't burn my mouth from the spice.
Okay, so a couple things. Number one, I think the Kevin Love starting thing to me is interesting because I think it was a correct decision in the sense that you're saying Toronto is going to put a ton of pressure on us and like we need to create safety valves for Darius, and like I just wasn't executed well. The defense, some of the defensive stuff is it looks like dead. Like, some of it is Kevin often, you know, isn't the defensive effort, isn't Max when they're Jetty's not a particularly good defensive player. I also am like sympathetic to Lowry because like I do not know if right now it would with the lack of practice time, with the lack of like the personnel, I don't know what you're supposed to do to really change the scheme in a meaningful way right now, because like Jared Allen and Evan Mobley set the whole tone for this scheme this year, right? Well, and Lauri Markkanen, they are supporting Lauri Markkanen in a very direct way, right? Like Lauri Markkanen can often succeed against wings and has had success guarding wings at times.
He's found his, offensively. He was very efficient tonight against the Raptors. Yeah, Markkanen.
But defensively, what has helped him is that when like their action comes to him, they say, ah, yes, we will switch Jared Allen onto him. Yeah. We will switch Evan Mobley onto him. And the Cavs are like, beat our two best defenders one-on-one. That's fine.
And by the way, we have Isaac Okoro floating around here, too. We can switch him onto you if it's more of a guard situation.
Or also, like, Jared Allen often behind that guy, creating an extra wall of defense. Like, the layers of the Cavs' defense have just been stretched right now.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that is minutes. Some of that is, like, teams getting more film on them as well. But, like, without Jared, like, the back line of the defense is just in a different spot, and that makes it much easier to hunt Lowry, and Mobley's just kind of floating in space, and there's just some difficulty there you're kind of managing. I think you just look at the minutes, too, and I don't want to ascribe this all the way to that. I think, you know, some of this is just they didn't come up in some moments. Like, the Cavs left some food on the table in this game, right? Like, there was a stretch in the fourth quarter. Isaac Okoro misses two shots at the rim. Lamar Stevens had Darius hit him with a ridiculous pass, and he just travels and gave the ball away, right? Like, the Cavs were also 2 of 9 in this game on the break. The Raptors were 8 of 11. There are like these things that the execution, like, this is a game I'm curious to go and watch back. I'm keen to go back and see some of this in flow and kind of be looking out for some of these things that went wrong. It just felt like they left some food on the table, and whether that's fatigue, whether that's just the execution wasn't there, whatever the root cause of it is, this is one of those games where I think the hope is you learn from it, but it certainly should be, I think, kind of a disappointing loss in the sense that, like, a lot of the stuff just kind of built up and built up and built up, and you weren't at your best, obviously, but you also didn't even execute to the maximum of what you're capable of with this group as it's healthy right in front of you right now.
No, I absolutely agree, and we'll talk, obviously, about Caris LeVert because that's your spicy take, but I'll kind of give my thoughts a little bit on it, too.
Well, let's just do that for the third. I think the other thing I want to ask you about this
game. Mine's a little more brief, and I want to hear what you have to say, because I might be able to bounce off yours a little bit more, too. I just think it's been kind of disappointing, and it's just disappointing because I really do think the injuries have just completely blown apart this trade and kind of not really made it much of a factor, because he has no familiarity with his teammates. Like, yes, you can run pick and rolls. Yes, you can ask him to be that secondary creator alongside Garland. I think he's doing that, but I think he's also tentative. And I also think maybe, I know there's reports about him wanting to sign an extension with Cleveland this offseason. I would wait, and maybe
I would not extend him
this offseason. Play this out into next season, let him get a training camp and maybe some time off to get fully healthy. And if it's still not working, that's a trade asset for you then. That's where I view LeVert right now. Because you're trading an injured Rubio, and you're probably not going to get your first-round pick out of this. You got to maximize your return somehow. And if it ain't working, pull the plug and find something else that is. Especially if Colin Sexton's back and he's providing what you wanted LeVert to do, either off the bench or as a starter, you have a very expensive big two guard that you can kind of move on from.
Yes. Just as a note before we go into break, the Bulls also did lose on Thursday. The Cavs obviously host them on Saturday in what becomes a massive game for Cleveland. The Cavs are one game back of the Bulls. So the Bulls, the Raptors, and the Cavs all are with kind of sandwiched together right now, 5, 6, 7 in the East. They all have 9 games left to play. The Cavs, if they win on Saturday, would go into 5, and that would be massive for them if they could kind of get that little advantage for them. Evan, the other thing I want to ask you, just as a small little note, did you think it was a mistake on JB's part not to maybe play a Moses Brown, just to give you some other actual, like, massive human being on the floor? I found personally, I saw this out there, like, just scanning tweets throughout this game. I didn't think he would have, like, helped at all.
Nope.
I think, you, like, I understand.
Same boat. Okay. Moses Brown is a body.
He might have been overwhelmed. He might have been overwhelmed.
He's a body that could get Toronto into the bonus a lot faster, is how I felt about him playing in this game. Because Pascal Siakam found his rhythm attacking Lauri Markkanen a lot, and you were not slowing down Spicy P once he found his rhythm. So You just throw up your hands.
Siakam, by the way, in case people, Sean Woodley put me onto this, and this is correct, shots to lock on the Raptors, having an all-NBA caliber season. That dude is quite good. He is quite good.
He's very good. I remember people calling him overrated. That Raptors team is just so interesting. They take so many misfits, and broken things and turn them into really good players.
Yeah.
They are like the Knights' watch. They are literally the wall protecting us from the rest of the North.
Like Armani Brooks on a 10-day deal, and that guy was just like, right, like that guy just showed up and went. Like, well, I was pretty impressed.
Nick Nurse is a good coach. He's got a good offensive mind, but they have a really good defensive system. It's just weird how it works. Absolute I'm not saying JV's bad.
Before
people think that. Raptors are a very well-run machine. They could maybe make a power move. They could maybe go get something. They could do what they can take to make some top shots. And speaking of top shots,
okay, after the break, I'm gonna issue this carousel verb thing I have, but Evan's first gonna tell everyone about our friends at Top Shot.
That is correct. Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by NBA Top Shot. NBA Top Shot's the official licensed NFT of the NBA. Connect with a community of hundreds of thousands of NBA fans as a natural progression of fantasy sports, a way to upgrade your experience as an NBA fan and just have fun. And this is the future of what being an NBA fan looks like. It's part trading card, part stock market, part fantasy sports. And in all honesty, it's kind of like an airline loyalty program. Just to be frank, they flew out 5 collectors to game 5 of last year's NBA finals based on having Suns moments. And they flew a few of the other collectors out to last year's NBA draft because they had rookie moments. And they even got to play basketball with Obi Toppin and Tyrese Halliburton. That's pretty cool. The investors in NBA Top Shot include Michael Jordan and Kevin Durant, not to mention famous YouTuber Will Smith. There are also a lot of NBA players in this community like Tyrese Halliburton, Cole Anthony, and Harrison Barnes. If you were to tell someone in 1916 that your piece of cardboard with Babe Ruth's face on it would be worth millions, it already is worth millions of dollars one day, everyone would think you're crazy. This is part of opening tip-off of digital age, and the NBA's officially licensed NFT market will be a big part of that digital age. Imagine when the NFTs are even more mainstream than they are right now on social media. You'll be able to flex what you own around the world instantly, no binders or shoeboxes. If you are interested, you can sign up today at NBA Top Shot. The best way to get started is by getting yourself a starter pack. You can pull an NFT of a superstar like LeBron or Kevin Durant or star rookies like Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley for just $9 dues. And if you didn't pull your favorite player from the starter pack, then you can snag moments from the marketplace that appeal to you as well. And if you want to earn even more exclusive NFT rewards, check out challenges. Complete challenges to unlock exclusive moment NFTs, and you can treat Top Shot like the best of daily fantasy sports. NBA Top Shot is the future of being an NBA fan. Own officially licensed rare NFTs of the greatest moments from NBA history. Sign up today at LockedOnNBAtopShot.com.
All right, also want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. Look, you can't do better than Built Bar. They are going to help you stick with your resolution to be healthier, be leaner, be a little more jacked. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bar with these. They are better. They have so many great flavors. Coconut, mint brownie, and they have white chocolate cookies and cream this month. The cookie dough, when they have that around, is a plus. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. They have a brownie batter puff right now. That just sounds amazing. That's so good. They should send me more boxes of them. Look, they're all about the taste. They're going to make it delicious first, get it healthy later, and they always succeed. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, Evan, here's my Caris LeVert thing. I'm going to just ask you a hypothetical.
Lay it on me, kid. Okay?
You can have one, right? You can have one or the other.
Is this like a monkey paw scenario or a genie wish?
Just you tell me. If you could, would the Cavs right now be better with a fully healthy, fully ready to go Colin Sexton than they are with Caris LeVert?
Oh, absolutely. They'd be so much better with a fully healthy Colin Sexton than they would currently with Caris LeVert.
Okay. I was watching this game and thinking about what Colin provides and thinking, like, they miss Ricky Rubio as well, like, to an extreme degree in a lot of ways.
They miss Rajon Rondo, too, just in terms of playmaking.
Well, Rubio's another level than Rondo, but like Rubio's like composure in this game would have really helped. But Sexton's ability to here's the thing about LeVert that I think has gotten him in some trouble. I think I'm sympathetic in terms of him spraining his foot and the rhythm being off, and Jared as his, like, you know, the guy he already has familiarity with not being active right now. There's a lot of trickiness there, right? The other part of this is he is just making some mistakes that are tricky. There was a bucket in this game where Pascal Siakam just ran behind him, and LeVert's like kind of like loafing on transition defense and like just gets beat. And it's just like, what? Okay, like that's low hanging fruit. If you're gonna succeed on a JB Bickerstaff team, and two, also just like maximize your effort level, like that's the kind of thing you can't do. He had some catch and shoot threes in this game. His performance started really low and then got higher. Like, certainly, I think did get a little better as it went on.
That's what I'm going to call these performances, just the careless LeVert.
But I kind of just like look at this, and this is like just a hypothetical, and this isn't like, I think Sexton's like more comfortable as an off-ball shooter, being a better shooter, the cutting, the speed. I just kind of look at this and like I'm like kind of wondering a little bit how he'd be pretty damn useful in the team right now. It just remains such a bummer that he's not around. That's it. That's as spicy as I can get. I can't really go like much hotter than that.
Yeah, it really wasn't that hot at the end of the day. But
for me, Evan, for me, getting out of my comfort zone, that was pretty high. You know me. You know I'm pretty. I can't get too crazy with some of this stuff, you know.
No, I think you're right. I think you hit the head on the nail with the Colin Sexton situation, because I felt that way for a while, because like you said, he's more comfortable as an off-ball shooter. He is a hell of a lot more comfortable with this team in general.
He's also just a better shooter.
He's a better shooter. He's a better bucket getter. He's really good at using his strength and athleticism to draw contact and get to the free throw line. Like, Sexton's really, really good, and I know I was talking last segment about how maybe the Cavs should kind of quietly walk back that position of extending LeVert, and maybe they should just quietly sign Colin Sexton to what they would sign LeVert to, because there's a lot of uncertainty on what kind of player Sexton will be. I asked around some folks, and there's not a lot of concerns that he won't be the same player he was. But obviously, you're going to have those reservations until you can see him on the court as well. So, like, you have to balance things out here. But Caris LeVert also was never going to come in and replace what Colin Sexton provides. I think he was more so brought in just to relieve defensive pressure on Darius Garland. And you saw it first and foremost in front and center tonight against Toronto. Toronto flustered Darius a lot, and, like, he got going in the third quarter and kind of carried some of that momentum into the fourth, but like he did not play well against Toronto tonight. And I think having Caris LeVert kind of be starting out flat and just kind of fluctuating a little bit and looking more like an overpaid Jetty Osman out there didn't help Darius at all, because the idea of Caris LeVert coming to Cleveland was, okay, we got this tertiary creator who's a bigger body. He can play 1, 2, 3, even 4 in some small ball lineups. He can rebound. He can play competent defense. He can provide shootings, more so slashing than anything. But the playmaking was the biggest aspect, where if Garland is facing pressure, you kick the ball out to Caris on the other side of the court, and then he can run pick and roll scenarios, because he's elite in pick and roll scenarios. It just hasn't come to fruition. I think you're getting the most suboptimal results you can with Caris LeVert. Like, you're getting like 10% of what you hoped he could be, and that's frustrating itself. And like you said, you can empathize with the injuries a lot. I think the foot injury was just the worst timing possible for a guy who just has a history of foot injuries. It's just tough to see. And when he's a non-factor out there, he's not good enough defensively, and I just don't think he understands the intricacies of JB Bickerstaff's system, because I mean, like you said, like the baseline is play hard, and there was moments like I noticed, and I think of the second or third where he stripped the ball from somebody, and he has active hands. Like that's good enough, I guess, but like he's not competent enough. And like you said, having that Allen security blanket fixes a lot of these issues the Cavs are having, but they don't have that right now, and yeah, the Cavs kind of looks vulnerable.
They would be just more put together and more composed, I think, if they just have Allen back.
Oh, yeah. On both ends of the floor.
If he's good, I
use Twitter.com to point this out, but the Cavs are giving up like 116 points per game over their last, since Allen went down, not including the Raptors game they won. And they're only scoring 112. Like, that's suboptimal. Like, they are getting outscored every game.
Yeah, this is like a top 10 defense that is on the year in terms of overall defensive rating. That is like
26, I think, right now. 26 or 27. Like, they're one of the worst in the league right now.
Well, it's like middle of the pack as it's kind of faded over the last 2 weeks. That's the time Jarrett's been out. Evan, let's wrap on this. Cavs Bulls is Saturday. Don't have a line yet from our friends at BetOnline. Don't know some of the injury. We'll see what the injury reports are and stuff like that. DeMar DeRozan did not play for the Bulls in New Orleans. I don't necessarily know if he's going to play Saturday. We'll see.
Nah,
just give me one. Give me one small thing you're looking for in that one.
Well, the big thing I'm looking for is the Bulls hurt me again. I was so high on them for the second year in a row, and they here they come, crashing back down to earth and disappointing me. Injuries be damned. But one thing I'm looking for is just the Vucevic factor on Evan Mobley. I want to see him kind of defend a big man in space like that. Vucevic really he can bang down low at times. He can provide defensive problems and rebounding and things like that, but he really thrives in the perimeter. It opens things up for Chicago offensively as well, and I wonder how that's going to function. DeRozan being available is a huge factor, and then Pat Williams too. Interested to see how they defend him and just how he plays in general, because I'm a huge fan of his game.
Yeah, I want to see let's see how the Cleveland defensive execution looks. It has been a little less than sharp. It has been a little less than optimal. And let's see what the starting lineup looks like too. I would not be surprised if you go back to Lamar Stevens as a starter. I think it works a little bit better. I think it makes sense. And I think Lamar, if there is one positive to me from this game, it's that Lamar is just good and should be a rotation piece.
Yeah, he shouldn't be a guy who's always ready. Like, I wish we could have talked about that more, but there was so much to unpack from this game. Just in general, that this was arguably one of Lamar's best games as a Cleveland Cavalier. Like, he looked very solid on shooting from the perimeter. He looked comfortable offensively. He looked very good defensively. He always looks very good defensively. Like, that's the frustrating thing, is like that gets completely overshadowed by just how bad the rest of the Cavs looked.
Yeah, a tough loss for Cleveland. Again, still six in the East. Still have that tiebreaker
for now,
but not 9 games left to play and a lot to play for. We're going to end
for the folks at home, if you want to keep track, I talked to Matt Moore, the NBA number cruncher himself, and he said the Cleveland's magic number
from Locked On Nuggets.
Yeah. Cleveland's magic number is 10 minus however many games Toronto loses going forward. Toronto plays Miami, they play Boston, and I think they play one more very good team to finish the season. And that's definitely worth monitoring, because the Cavs need the Raptors to lose at least one or two. Because if Cleveland slips up in any of these games, Toronto's only going to be benefiting from that. And I think the Cavs want to avoid the play at all costs at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's. Here's just something J.B. Baker said post-game question from Serena Winters from Bally Sports. The other question, by the way, is from Kelsey Ruzer from The Athletic, who made a quick comment because they didn't clip the video enough. But here's what J.B. had to say. We'll be back Sunday middle of the day with the recap of the Bulls game. That game is too important for us to wait to Monday, so we're just going to record the recap.
So dedicated as podcast hosts. We don't do once a week like the Chase Down Pod. We do 5 days a week, and we're even breaking
can
our
you
backs
just pick,
on
can
a
you
Saturday.
Pick a bit, can you just decide to be friends with them or not?
They are my friends. I talk to Justin all the time. Carter, right. Not so much, because he's busy living life and not paying attention to me.
Here's JB Baker's staff. Be well, stay hydrated.
I'm just saying, we're working on a Saturday and they ain't.
I have moved past you and your shenanigans. Be well, stay hydrated, take small bites. Here's JB Baker's staff on where the Cavs are at right now.
No remedy for it until you get hit in the face with it. And you know, again, this is opportunity for growth and learning for our guys to be put in these positions. And then, you know, now Saturday comes up. And it's another opportunity. This one's on our home floor with our fans, you know, making people uncomfortable. So we got to learn from it and be ready to go.